Thank you so much. It was worth just coming for the applause for Rabbi Blinder. It was worth coming to be able to share it with his parents, Gavalik. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be here. Even though there are very many differences between East Coast and West Coast, there are also an incredible amount of similarities that we have. We share, I'm sure, common challenges. And I think one of the most profound of those challenges is really the fundamental question of the belief in ourselves. I know, I imagine that the name Ben Shapiro rings a bell with a lot of guys, and it's a big name. I had the pleasure, I know Ben for, he's in the neighborhood, so you know, by us he's Ben, you know, he's just, he's another member of the Kehillah, Baruch Hashem. But it was interesting that I don't think Ben Shapiro spent time analyzing Sabbat Gemusar. But it's fascinating, he was a guest speaker at the Emek Trustees Dinner this past Sunday night. I was there, and it's amazing, in his speech he gave a nice half-hour drasha, less politics, more religion, and the importance of religion, and that whole idea. But it was fascinating to me that his main message in terms of what is the fundamental difference between the left and the right, and we know what's going on in the world and the craziness, and now even the coronavirus is being blamed on Trump. It's incredible. You know, Mamish's man can do nothing that goes wrong in this world is not his fault. But the point that I want to share with you is that if to understand the fundamental difference between the left and the right in terms of so many of the values that we're dealing with is a pasuk in Bereishis. That concept of Tzelem Elokim, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Elokim, that idea that we are inherently godly, that we are inherently so great, so potentially able to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so valuable in the sense of each and every person being able to contribute in his own unique way. To understand that and to believe in that, he felt, is literally the fundamental aspect of humanity, the battle of the world's positions, of the right versus the left, is what's at stake. And Rabbi says, certainly if you sort of, you bring it down to our level, you bring it down to who we are, and we're kids, we're young adults, we're teenagers, we're older, and we're looking at this amazingly crazy world with so many different messages and challenges that confront us, if we don't have this particular nakuda down of who we are and how great we could be and how great we have to be, and the belief in ourselves and in the belief in our chaver, because if we understand fully Tzelem Elokim, we understand fully the inherent greatness that we have, then we have to understand that's the inherent greatness that my friend has. And that's how with the midos aspect of our development in Torah, how the two have to go hand in hand. With the concept of our growth in Torah, which is certainly paramount within the typical system of education in Klal Yisrael, steiging away and learning another sugya, covering another mesech that we went through, the Sima Shas, and now Baruch Hashem, you know, the idea of going through Shas is up there. It's, you know, we have a little bit of a different perspective. We want to do it methodically and analytically and clearly, but the idea of Torah, the idea of growing in Torah, is certainly up there. But what has to be equally up there is this idea of midos, the idea of how we are developing in terms of our Yiras Shamayim and in terms of our Ben Olam Chaveri. And when you think about V'yosli Migdash V'shachati B'soicham, the famous Reb Chaim V'lozhin, we all quote it, but do we really think about it? Do we really internalize this concept? Not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu within us in terms of the Tzelem Elokim that he blew into us in essence of him, of Kav Yochel, God himself, that's who we are, that's what we have within us, that's what we have to tap into. But it maybe even goes further when you think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, in this week's parasha of Yosef, Migdash v'shachati b'socham. Why b'socham, says the Nefesh HaChayim? Because b'soich kol echad, the echad b'nei Yisrael, every single Jew, in a sense, is that Migdash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will make the Migdash, I will find a vehicle through your connection to me, I will find a vehicle to bring myself down here on this world, where I'm palpable, you can feel me, you have this kachay kadosh, but it's not necessarily only the Kodesh Kedoshim, Rabbi say, but it's B'toy Cholecha V'yachad. That means we are, in a sense, walking receptacles for Kedusha. I guess there's also thing as a regular level of Kedusha, but literally the highest possible comprehension that we can bring ourselves to of the Kodesh Kodashim V'yosu L'Migdash V'shachati B'Soicham. This is who we are. This is what we have. This is what we have to tap into, and this is what we have to see in each and every one of our chaverim. We look into another Jew before we blast him for missing that layup or dropping the pop-up or the kid who maybe is more susceptible to the crack in the classroom because he's a little bit of an easy target. So just a juicy line. In my days, I knew about juicy lines back in the day. But and you know what? The idea of us sort of backing away and not taking advantage of that easy target and being sensitive to his feelings and his situation. These are all incredibly important aspects to appreciating how we're going to get to what we need to get to. How we're going to maximize who we are. How we're going to tap into the great, incredible potential that we have. Something else from this week's parasha that's also, I think, very critical because, all the Mefarshim talk about the fact the Asu Aron Atzei Shitim. They all talk about the fact that the Aron, unlike any other of the other kelim of the Mishkan, which says V'yasisa, 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 you should make. When it comes to the Aron, they all ask the question, it says V'yasu. V'asep is V'yasu, that it's plural. Why plural? Right? It wasn't made by more than one person. The Aron wasn't that big. It needed a whole team of artisans to come in. It's V'yasisa. It should be V'yasisa as well. V'asep is V'yasu. And the Ramban points out, the Medrash says that they all really talk about on one level or another, they all mention the concept when it comes to the Aron, Rabbi Yisai, to the concept of Torah, the concept of what the Aron represented, which is the Luchos, and the Torah, which is inherited as part of the Aron. We say Aron HaKadosh because that's the concept. The Torah is the Aron, their Hainu Hach. It cannot be V'yasisa. It cannot be that there are certain people who are connected to the Aron HaKadosh, to connected to the Aron, to connected to Torah, and other people are not. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single member of Klal Yisrael, one way or the other, has to be part of the building of the Aron. How do you manage that? How do you do that? How do you manage 600,000 men being part of the Aron? Really, maybe even more when you count the above 60.
I think I have an answer to that.
Go ahead. Yes.
And the thing is how the Bnei Yisrael acted, the Kruvim would switch direction, or it would, or in a sense, kind of like they're building the Aron.
Okay, Well, I have a Balabatim show every Friday, so I'm not in LA right now, but sometimes when one of the Balabatim says a pshat, I say, you know what, put that into your sefer, okay? It's a nice pshat, okay, remember it, put down an index card. I like what you're saying, it's novel, it's not what they answer, but don't forget... Okay, don't forget that pshat. I hear what you're saying, and it's beautiful. There's a deep concept there. I like it. The Ramban and the other Mefarshim say something a little bit different, and they say more, on a more practical level, it's got to be the Aron. And the way it gets to be the Aron, it's not through the Kruvim and through the Beit Olam HaChavera, which is a beautiful idea, the faces facing each other. Yeah, that's all you're saying is solid. But the point is, they want to say on a more fundamental level is that no. Every single person directly, what do you mean directly? How? So you said either you donate some of the gold, either maybe you can be there, like the Lahavdil, the surgeon who's, got the sweaty, and there's somebody who takes the sweat off his brow, and the other one said, pass me the scalpel. Bezalel needed somebody to pass him the hammer, pass me this. But so somebody was helping him, give him a little bit of Ezer Ma'at, says the Ramban. Or Oshiskavnu B'Dover. Or they just sat in their, maybe in their places by their shvatim, maybe they were a couple miles away, but they sat and they were machavin. They must have had some major announcement at this particular time. But Tzal will be making the Aron. Every single member of Klal Yisrael needs to be meskavin ledover, that even though you can't physically be there, you are, in a sense, there. And maybe they said Tillim together, that he should do it with the purest level of Kedush. I'm not sure what the process was, but the Ramban's language is Oishi Eskavnu B'dover. So Rabbi said the concept is so amazing that there is no member of Klal Yisrael. And I deal with high school kids and I see even ninth graders, and for many years I taught the ninth grade cheer. And amazingly, there are kids already in ninth grade who are convinced that they can't learn. There are already kids in ninth grade who have already sort of boxed out this concept of me becoming somebody in Torah. And how sad it is. For whatever reasons, I didn't do well. The Rebbe put me in the back of the room in sixth grade. Once somebody said a comment to me about, I got a Shvera cup. Who knows what might have made it that way. But the idea that we feel disconnected to Torah, the idea that somehow we don't have this specific association with Torah, we're all somehow or another identifying with this incredible concept of Klal Yisrael and Kiddush Hashem and learning Torah and living a life of Torah, then it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not acceptable. Cannot happen. Every single person has to be zeicha to that mantle and that crown of Torah in one way or another. And therefore, the idea that we have to feel that and to be associated with it and to connect to it is something very, very critical. Just one step further about this point, which is really something also just mind-blowing. Because, again, not everyone necessarily is meant to be the God of Hadar. It's hard to know who it is. Can't say everyone is, because the guy who maybe thinks he doesn't have the highest IQ does not mean he can't be the God of Israel. Maybe we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But clearly, some people are meant to have their sort of their crown of Torah in other ways. This one could support Torah. This one's an amazing Baal Chesed. This one do other things. There are amazing people who do incredible things who've changed the landscape of Klal Yisrael, not necessarily through Torah. But certainly, that's one way, and we just don't know. At the end of the day, till you really throw yourself completely in and push yourself to the limit to see what you can accomplish, we just don't know. But clearly, there are different avenues to get there. But when a person is able to sort of to strive for that sort of that crown, that unique crown. I got into trouble once. I said a little bit of a different verse, same idea of how Torah represents the epitome to become that Talmud Chacham. I said, Gabi Ephraim and Menashe, why did Yaakov put Ephraim before Menashe? So I gave a shmuz, and at that time they used to send the shmuz out to the parents, and one parent came back and said, thank you very much, but I'm pulling my kid out of the school. If that's the messages you're giving my son and your kids, I don't want any part of it. And what was the message? The message was that the pinnacle, you can do a lot of great things, and you're fantastic if you're a businessman who supports Torah, and you do your chavrusaship, whatever you do. But if you can achieve the Ephraim, the one who was Yoshev, Yoshev Olim, the one who was Yoshev in the Beis Medrash, and the Osik B'Torah to achieve that godless, that's the pinnacle, that's the ultimate. I don't want my kid hearing that. The Imam should pull him out. I don't think it worked too well for him, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. But the point is that some people are offended by this message. But Rabbi said, we can't worry about the truth. Our job is to communicate the truth, and while there are so many different avenues of achieving greatness, and even the Ramchal says incredibly, at the very end of his Sefer, when he talks about literally mamish getting to the close to the level of being Mechayim Mesim, that level of Kedusha, he says there are different people. Some people can achieve that level through Torah. Other people can achieve that level through another avenue. They could be workers. They could be Balabatim. Yet they're mamish at the very end of the Sefer in the highest pinnacles of Dveikus Hashem. So this is not to say that we can't achieve greatness in many different ways, but it is to say that at the end of the day, who does Torah put on, who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on as a top echelon level? It's the Talmud Chacham, the person who's able to literally get to that point where they can be representative of Torah in this world to the extent, sort of as Das HaKadosh, what unbelievable Das HaKadosh in this week's Parsha, where he talks about the Ohr, and the same issue about the Ohr, and he asks the same question as the other Rishonim ask. So he quotes a Gemara about Kavod HaTorah. Maybe it's a little bit of a plug. We never would ask kids. You don't ask kids to stand up. Interestingly, some kids do in Valley Torah. They do stand up, especially when Rebbeim have an Aliyah. They stand up. I'm not into the whole idea of pushing people to stand up, because somehow as kids we sort of don't like it. These people are into Kavod HaTorah, and you know, so we don't push them. But it's interesting that some people have that feeling, that sense. Certainly by an Aliyah they stand up, and sometimes even Rebbe walks into a classroom. But the idea that this is not a small thing, Rabbi Isai. And again, no one asked me to talk about it. I'm just throwing it in as a line just to think about. Because listen to this. So the Daz Akedah brings the Gemara, why the Asu Aron? Same question. What happens to the Asu? So he says, because everyone needs to be involved in Kavod HaTorah. Everyone needs to be involved in showing respect for the Aron HaKodesh, this incredible keli that was made by Bezalel, that was sat in the Kodesh Kodashim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu used as a vehicle to communicate to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Klal Yisrael, we're not going to give cover to that to that entity. So we have to be involved. Now he doesn't say how we're involved. Maybe use the same pshat as Ramban, but his nekudah is covered at Torah. And then he says a line. The line I thought it was a misprint when I saw it many years. I thought it was a misprint, but now they have now all these new versions. You know these new Mikros Kedolos and it edited and this and that research. The cover, it's still in there. That line is still in there, and the line says. So we have to all show cover to the Aron because the Aron has a Torah, and we have to show cover to what that represents. For Kavachaymer l'tamir chacham. The Kavachaymer l'tamir chacham. And certainly, if we're giving cover to the Torah and to the Aron HaKodesh, Kavachaymer, and he brings the Gemara that talks about in every single generation, not talking about just, you know, people, oh yeah, in Yeshua's day, no. Every generation there are certain people who are not involved in taxes, who have to pay taxes to the cities because they're doing it their way, right? The Chazanish told this famous story, I wasn't there at the time, but the Chazanish is having a talk with Ben-Gurion, he says, you know, you guys have the soldiers, we'll supply you the spiritual soldiers. We'll supply you with the power to beat the enemy in a different vehicle. So you guys go to the army. We'll go learning. I don't want to get into political issues now, 50, 60 years later. But Lamaisa, in its initial form, that was the concept. Okay, that we need people to learn. If you want to beat the Arabs, if you want to beat the enemy, the ones who want to swallow you up and drive you into the sea, you're going to need the kayach of Ruchnius. Kayach HaTar. So Tamar HaChachamim were exempt from certain taxes. So Kavachaymel Tamir Chacham, meaning that if we have to show cover to the Aron made by Bezalel, the Aron that was total purity, that was directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was a vehicle for the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the call to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiest thing that we've ever had in the history of the world, the Ark, so to speak, the Holy Ark. And you tell me, Kavachaymel Tamir Chacham? We have to show cover to that. We certainly have to show cover to the Talmud Chacham. How amazing. How amazing. That means, Rabbi Yisai, and some of you are probably not even so far from that level already. You're getting close. Maybe the high school guy's a little bit further away, but Rabbi Yisai, this is what we can achieve. We can be that Talmud Chacham. Could you imagine? This is not to blow up anybody's ego. This is just for carrot. The closer you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more humble we become. But could you imagine that within our purview, within the realm of our abilities, is to achieve the level of a Talmud Chacham, where then it becomes the obligation for Klal Yisrael to recognize that and give that person kavod, is actually, it's greater than the Aron HaKodesh. And here we're praying every day, Yishlaim Yircha, Abraham Toshav, Asamach David, and we need the Gula Shleima, we need Mashiach, and we need the end of all Tzaris, and we need the Beis HaMikdash, and we want the Aron HaKodesh. But in reality, we can be that Aron HaKodesh. We can be that amazing receptacle for Torah, living it, acting in accordance with it, teaching it. And that, Rabbi Yisai, is the Kavachaymer from the Aron HaKodesh. It's mind-boggling. This is who we could be. And if we appreciate that, if we recognize who we are, what we can be, Mamash, it's mind-blowing. This is what we can connect to. But we need, as we say, and that's why I think the Kruvim are connected to this as well. Why do the Kruvim sit? Just sort of get back to the young man's answer with the Kruvim a little bit. Just the connection between the Kruvim and the Aron HaKodesh is not something that's coincidental. There's a direct connection. The Kruvim facing each other, I believe, and I think the Mefarshim allude to this, is the idea that the Midos and the Achdus and the sincerity and the humility that's inherent in the face of a young child. The Kruvim had the face of a young child. Because you need the midas, you need the openness, you need the yearning and the searching for truth. As a young child, unjaded by all types of, we go through different challenges, and this one and that one we put down, we have different experiences. When we're younger, we have that sincerity, that openness. I want to learn. I want to grow. I don't have the limitations of what somehow society or my own crazy insecurities have put into my head. No, I can achieve. I want to learn. Notice the Mefarshim say, why we call it a Talmud Chacham. An 80-year-old guy is called a Talmud Chacham. Talmud? He's a Chacham and a Talmud Chacham. He's teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. Because we always have to be a Talmud. We always have to be that person yearning and searching for more, having that sincerity and that openness for everybody to say, this is who we are. So it's along these lines, so today is Friday, I'm losing track because I came on the Reddit Wednesday night, but Wednesday morning, fellow very chashuv Talmid Chacham comes every year to Los Angeles and he shared a story with me. And it's an amazing story. I'll try to shorten it a little bit, but it's an amazing story. Hope you didn't hear it recently. I'd never heard this story before. It was a story about two young kids who applied to the Pressburg Yeshiva. And Pressburg was a yeshiva in the time of the Chassam Sefer, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva. And these two kids wanted to apply, but unfortunately, they're about 13, 14 years old. That was an age bracket to come into this very elite. I know we're not into elitism around, you know, by us. You know, we like being that sort of open kind of place where everyone could feel comfortable to shaygen to learn. But in Pressburg, I guess they felt if you couldn't handle the level of learning, it didn't pay. You should go to another place. Anyway, so these two kids took a feher. The trouble is they came after Elul. If you come after Elul, you got to wait till Sukkot to take the feher. So they're waiting around. They're waiting till Sukkot. And in the meantime, Sam Sefer is getting ready for Yontif, and it's a few days before Sukkot. And they drop off. I'm just cutting out all the side details, but they're dropping off the schach in his house to build a sukkah for Sukkot for the Pressburg Kehillah. So for some reason that year, they didn't drop it off on the property of his house. They dropped it off in front of the house on the street, which bothered the Chassam Sofer because it's on the street. People might walk on the schach after a schach is quasi-dovish b'gdushim. They should treat it with respect. It's part of a mitzvah. So he was going to do it the next morning. But in the meantime, that day, he was sort of on the lookout just to see how they're going to treat his schach. He's looking out the window. He's a young kid, about 13 years old, 14 years old. Walking down the street, and as he's walking, he's watching him very carefully as he's walking down the street. He's walking down the street, he stops in front of the schach. So we've seen this, you know, like the kid right in front of the puddle, and he stops in front of the puddle, and then doesn't just walk into the puddle, then he just splashes. Now, this kid didn't do that. He walked around the schach. He walked around the schach, and he goes weiter. And it registered. Sam Seifer saw that, registered in his mind. Fast forward to right after Sukkot, for some reason, as we know, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, this particular feher of these two young men, instead of being given by one Rebbe, two Rebbeim were available, they both gave the feher. One kid, you're right in. Superstar kid, brilliant, brilliant mind, go for it. Okay, you're in. Other kid, one Rebbe, doesn't cut it. I mean, a nice boy, don't get me wrong, but doesn't cut it. But he's a nice kid. The other Rebbe really liked him. He had a certain amount of chain. He's really trying. They couldn't agree. They could not come to an agreement to take the kid or not to take the kid. So what do you do when you have a disagreement? You go to Chassam Sofer. So he's the head of the yeshiva. So let's go. So he went to Chassam Sofer, told him the dilemma, told him the different opinions. I want to see the kid. I want to see the kid. And the Rebbe told me to say, I know the people from Pressburg, this is a well-known story, Dore Doros, accurate, he says, to the T. And I'm leaving out some details just are not quite relevant to the point. Anyway, they come to the Chassam Sofer, he said, I want to see the kid. Let me see the kid. They bring the kid to him. He looks at the kid. That's the kid who walked around the schach. So he talks to him for a few minutes, says, thank you very much, calls in the Rebbeim. We got to take this boy. We got to take this boy. What's that? Amazing. This is the language, again, this is what I heard. He's a Balmidois. If he's a Balmidois, he can steig. We have to take him, which I don't know what that means about all the other kids, but they didn't take a chesish. I don't know, you know, but that's what he said. He's a Balmidois. We have to take him. And sure enough, Sam Sofer says, you take him. They took him. But it's an incredible part of the incredible end of the story, if you want to call it an end, is that for 2 years later, this particular young man was the top guy in the yeshiva. Top guy. Not the greatest mind, not necessarily the biggest blitz, didn't go away. The top guy in the yeshiva. And how many times have you heard stories about people who maybe start off with average intelligence and somehow when you put yourself into it, you throw yourself into it, amazing things happen. Many, many gedolim have achieved this. About 10 years later, he was already part of a dayan, part of a bezin, where he's posking Shilas and donning on Klal Yisrael, issues in Klal Yisrael. Another decade or so after that, or maybe even 2 decades, I'm not sure, Rabbi said that young man who barely made it into the Pressburg Yeshiva became the Maram Shik, a person who was one of the Gedolim of his generation, wrote shuvas for Gantz Klal Yisrael, the Maram Shik, very, very well-known guy. And he was a kid at 13 or 14. And what was Chassam Sofer's point, even though maybe he didn't shine yet, he didn't, you know, get into this superstar group or that superstar group, what was the point? He had midos. If you have midos for Rabbi Yisai, that's why Rabbeinu Yonah, what an incredible Rabbeinu Yonah, who says in the Mishnah, Ein Derech Eretz Ein Torah, he says, if you want Torah, a lot of times we wonder about that. You know, like, what's the deal? I'm steiging, I'm learning, I'm trying. Like, so first of all, sometimes we don't realize how much we grow. Second of all, give it some time because you never know when it's going to kick in. But he does say something. He does say something very important. He says, if you want Torah to transform you, we know. I'm sure you see it. We see it on the West Coast like nobody's business. Guys, you'd swear in 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th grade, there's no way. There's just no way this guy, Davin's a 12-second Shmon Esrei. You know, he goes back, looks around, no one's watching. Okay, I can sit down. I mean, we know those guys. We know those guys. And they go to Eretz Yisrael. And 6 months later, guy's having a 10-minute Shmon Esrei. Guy's learning 10 hours, 12 hours a day. And not just a quick, you know, year after year after year, guys who are writing Sforim, guys who are giving Shir, guys who are a massive Talmid HaChachamim. And Baruch Hashem, that's a little bit when you're around for 34 years in a place, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu, you get to see these stories. You get to see them from the long haul, from the longer perspective. So the idea that we somehow limit ourselves is ridiculous. But the Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you want Torah to have that transformative powers, that literally that takes one individual and transform them, the metamorphosis is just incredible. You have to have one thing before it can happen. You have to be a receptacle for Torah. In a sense, you have to sort of be that kli, that beautiful kli. Not that you have to have perfect midos, but you have to be a bal midos. You have to be working, you have to be misaking, you have to work on yourself. You have to recognize what it is that is part of my responsibility. If it's all Torah, and midos are in the back burner, it's okay. So I lace into a guy, or so I speak about this one, or I, whatever it is, I feel I'm the best guy, and I look in the mirror every morning and say, Baruch Hashem, God made me the greatest human being on earth. Baruch Hashem, and I have to never look down at everybody else around me because I'm just the greatest. That's it. I'm the greatest, you know. That guy, he can learn a lot. And he can learn for a lot of years. But that's his mentality. He ain't going anywhere. Hey God, Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not me. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you're not a base kibul for proper midos, if you're not working, being misaking yourself, it's not happening. You might be a star maybe in one level, but when you get to the major leagues, it's not going to happen. You're going to wonder, why not? Why didn't it happen? I remember, I've shared this many times over the years, and I don't think with this particular auspicious body here, but Rav Matisyahu Solomon would say, and he actually did say to us in LA, when he visited LA, he said, he used to, in Manchester, he used to follow the Mishnayos Baal Peh winners. And he figured at 12 or 13, the guy knows 7,000 Mishnayos Baal Peh, and he's being honored by a big Lava Malkin. They put him on stage and mamish bright lights and fancy awards, shots and this and that. And he says, yeah, I'm going to follow these guys. Let's see where these guys end up. And he said, Rubai Kekulam, almost every single one did not amount to any type of level of Chochmah that you think he would aspire to. If at 13 you're flying high, imagine, this guy, these were the stars of England. So like, what happened? If we can argue the pshat, he says his feeling as a pshat is gaiva. His feeling the pshat is, guy walked into class the next day, and his 8th grade or 9th grade Rebbe starts, okay, everybody say, open your gemaras, Eil Metzias Shaloi. I just heard last night that I'm one of the future gedolim. So this 9th grade Rebbe, if he's a 9th grade Rebbe, does that mean he was nowadays it could mean he was the best guy in the shir, but I guess, you know, he's nervous. 9th grade, I'm going to be Rosh Hashiva. I mean, I'm going to be telling the 9th grade Rebbe what to do. So he's going to now teach me shir. So, you know, close the ears a little bit. I'm a little sort of better than this guy. And if guy starts getting in, he says, you're finished. You're finished, Rabbi Yisai. So how important is it that as we are growing in Torah, and as you have this incredible opportunity to be in really a special Mokum Torah, that also for decades and decades, Baruch Hashem, the stories and the success and the nachas that this Mokum Torah has seen is astounding. It's absolutely astounding. You're in this place with tremendous Shabbayim, Talmid Chacham of the highest level. Not only issues of what you have to afford them in terms of kavod, as we said before, but just sucking out all of the energy and all of the chokhmah that they have, just gained from them. To have that curiosity and that chukah, that drive, that yearning to be able to achieve that level where I can maybe Bezer Shem one day be that Talmid Chacham who is the Kavod Chomer after the Aron HaKodesh, Kavod Chomer Talmid Chacham. So if we work on the midos as well, if we sort of have this sort of dual approach, that's why Baruch Hashem, you're very much blessed. I'm sure everyone has an amazing story how I got to be in this place in Miami or in Florida from here. I say to the Valley Torah kids, there's no person in Klal Yisrael who cannot go back 75 years and write a book that you would not believe the nisim that are in that book that led to how my grandparents got here, survived, whatever, Balachuva, you name the story. We're all living miracles, mamish living miracles. So to be here and to fully recognize who we could be and where we are, and Baruch Hashem, you're in a Musi Yeshiva. That means the yeshiva that focuses on midos, that talks about midos, that puts midos at the highest echelons of Avodas Hashem, where it needs to be, because you can't do one without the other. The Gros says, what's a person living for? Lama lechayim, he says, if you're not working on yourself, lama lechayim. Can you imagine the Gros saying, why does a guy have to live? What are you living for? If you're not working on yourself, what are you living for? The Gros, what are you living for? Maybe to learn Masechta cover to cover? Maybe to master Tanakh? The Gros knew about learning. I think he was a ganz fine masmid in terms of being machshav learning. And what does he say? What are you living for? What are you alive for if you're not working on yourself? If you're not working to get better? You're not working on becoming more sensitive to Yichaver? So the Vilna Gaon can say that, how much more so it is for us. I maybe just end with a story, a beautiful story that I just think also highlights the idea of what we should be aspiring to. Because it's a story it's the only Baal Shem Tov story I really know, and certainly the only one I share. I heard a few years ago. And this Baal Shem Tov story is about a fellow who went to the Baal Shem Tov saying, I hear all about this Gilu Eliyahu thing, you know, Eliyahu and Navi coming and talking and communicating. I want a Gilu Eliyahu. So, you know, if that happened with us, we'd say, you know, please get out of my office. You're wasting my time. You want a Gilu Eliyahu? When it happens, you don't need to ask me. But that's not what he said. The Baal Shem Tov says, you want a Gilu Eliyahu? Okay, fine. There's a neighboring town. Spend Shabbos there. You'll have a Gilu Eliyahu. Just take some provisions with you. So he took some food, he goes to the neighboring town, sits in the back of shul, waiting at chleis, whatever, and nobody invites him. Gabbai's about to, the shamash is about to close up the shul. Well, hello, I mean, you see, I'm still here. Oh, yeah, what's your problem? What do you need? So after his ego is gone to find deflated, and then he says, oh, well, I'm here, you know, whatever, I'm visiting for Shabbos. Okay, oh, you know what? I see you have some food. There's an almana and her son. You can help them out. It would be very nice if you ate there. You can sleep here in the shul. We got a pillow in the back. You can sleep on one of the benches and spend Shabbos here. You're welcome to spend Shabbos and you'll eat by the almana. Okay, fine. He's by the almana, waiting for this epiphany, this magical moment. Where is Elio? Shabbos comes and goes. Two meals by the almana. Nothing happens. He goes back. A little disappointed. Rebbe, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Go back again. Do it again next Shabbos. Next Shabbos comes, same drill, same deal, almana, food, back and forth, nothing happens. He's getting a little annoyed now. Goes back to the Baal Shem Tov and says, Rebbe, I mean, come on, two in a row. Go back. Trust me, go back again, one more time. Okay, he goes back one more time, he's got his provisions, he goes to the town, but this time he figures, listen, I know the drill already. I know I'm going to end up in the almana's house. So why bother to go to shul and sit in the back of shul and be, you know, a little bit disrespected? I'll go straight to Elmon. I'll drop off the food already on my way there. So he goes Friday afternoon, goes to Elmon, and he's about to knock on the door. And he hears the voices behind the door. And he hears the little kid screaming out to his mommy. Mommy, mommy, it's a few hours before Shabbos and there's no food in the house. What are we going to do? There's no food in the house. And he's able to hear the mother, Tatala, Tatala, don't worry, don't worry. The last 2 weeks, Elio HaNavi came to our house and brought us food. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. And as he was about to knock on the door, it just hit him. The Baal Shem Tov was delivering a very profound and powerful message. You know, we sit there, we're waiting for the, you know, how many times have we heard, yeah, if I had the Nisa, if I had this, if I had that, you know. No. You want to get Elio? Be the Gil Elio. Be that person. Then you won't have any questions anymore. Be that person who touches another Jew. Be that person in the right place at the right time who comes and gives some level of support to another Jew. To that Jew, you're Elio HaNavi. That's what we're enough of what we're supposed to be aspiring to make that difference in somebody's life. And then maybe we will, maybe we won't. But if we are that Elio HaNavi in that person's life, that's what we've accomplished. That's who we are, and that's what we have to feel is our tafkid here in this world. Rabbi, you, like I said before, you're very blessed. You're an amazing Makom Torah. You have incredible people around you. If you recognize who we are and who we could be and what we have to have a sort of a sight for us in terms of our vision, if it's learning, it's on top of the world. If it's another avenue, we can make a difference in Klal Yisrael and be incredible people. But as long as our mission is to have that goal, I want to mekadesh shem shemayim. I want to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. I want to impact the world in a positive way. Then Bezer Hashem, we can be that Elio HaNavi. We can achieve the goals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set out for us. And that's Chus Bezer Hashem, us and Gantz Kali Yisrael should be Zoche to be a Mashiach Meher V'Meinu.